Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and today welcome Guy Joseph Ale, author of Best Version of Yourself at Every Age. Guy is considered to be one of the world's visionaries in the field of human lifespan. In discussing mind, body, and energy coherence, as well as universal intelligence, we can begin to focus on infinite human potential, as well as thoughts of our physical body consciousness in relation to cosmic consciousness, and we can begin to develop strategies and techniques to living our longest and healthiest life in the body. Hello, Guy.
Hello, Cheryl. It is very good to join you and your audience.
Thank you for being here. You know, Guy, Healing From Within is a show that aims to bring our listeners the newest, most complex view of metaphysical concepts, science, quantum physics, and the means to understand life, both in the physical as well as the unseen or spiritual dimension. Because a greater awareness of who we are allows and affords us the means to our healthiest, most creative life journey. And who doesn't want to be vital and vibrant, whether they are 45 or 95, right?
That is absolutely right, Cheryl. In fact, we at Lifespan Seminar, we always ask the question, how does this or that bright idea improve my everyday life? How does it benefit me in my daily life? Quite honestly, if there is no practical application of it, we don't want it. So, as you so well put it, you know, the latest insights of neuroplasticity and epigenetics and new cosmology, they are wonderful because they help us they really show the scientific foundations of intuitions that we as humans had for thousands of years of what constitutes a good life. So now there is scientific evidence of it, and that's the great connection, really.
Yes, and we're going to talk about all that in a minute. But, Guy, let's give our listeners a little bit of information about your work and interest. Guy Joseph Ale is president of Lifespan Seminar and vice president of Asia-Pacific Association of Psychology. He serves as the Secretary General of the Chamber of Chartered Behavioral Scientists and is an esteemed council member of the International Council of Professional Therapists. Since 1992, Ale's primary research has been the scientific, spiritual, behavioral, and evolutionary aspects of the awareness that is in our DNA to sense how long we can live, and the practical applications of this insight for daily circumstances, which is what you just said. We want to bring a practical view of what has been our birthright since the beginning of time, to know ourselves and to know how to deal in the physical and spiritual worlds. So in today's show, we will be discussing the development of the optimal lifespan system, which combines body conscious techniques and self-management skills to help individuals understand the energy in their body and to provide the tools to use this energy in the best way. Now, Guy, I love the journal entries at the beginning of your book. Can you please tell us something of your earlier life and how perhaps certain cultural influences directed you to concentrate on aspects of the human lifespan?
I would love to, Cheryl. I was born, as you read in the early parts of the book, I was born in what was the Soviet Georgia, near the Caucasus Mountains, and I lived there until I was four. Between four and eight, I lived in Uzbekistan, which is in Central Asia, near the Chinese border, and it's a Muslim country. It's a desert country, very, very hot temperatures of over 100 degrees are common in the summer. So I lived there for 4 years as a child. Then I lived another 4 years in Georgia, Then I lived 14 years in Israel, and then I lived in the States since the age of 26. So I have lived in the States for almost 28 years. So these are all very, very different customs, ways of life, ways of thinking, religions. You know, I've lived in three different in countries of three different religions, really. Christianity in Georgia, Islam in Uzbekistan, and Judaism in Israel. So what it teaches you, really, what it gave me, to answer your question, is you see from a very early age that there is no one quote-unquote correct way of doing things. You know, people go about their lives in so many different ways, and they all work. So as a child, this gave me a very broad sense of existence right away. I saw, you know, it allowed me really to think, you know, in broad terms, not to limit myself into, oh, this is how it's done, or that is how it's done. And it contributed to my inquisitive nature, I guess.
My first book, Life is No Coincidence, seems to fit very nicely here, because I believe that all those experiences were part of your life plan or destiny and very necessary for you to develop the work that you do now and to write this book, which will help so many people. But I also liked in your earlier experiences, you say you settled in Israel, you were in the army, and you had several close encounters with death, and you realized, this is a very important thing for our audience to understand, you realized that when bad things keep happening, perhaps there is a pattern or something that needs to be changed. And then you go on to talk about some of your relationships. You had a girlfriend, and you realized that you weren't accessing your inner being or need to expand, and you decided to make changes because you realized life was a gift and God was letting you know you could do better. So you go on to explore an acting career here in New York, and you made some very important statements in the book about how to proceed when you have all these challenges facing you, but still keep your spirit and your level of joy very high. Can you tell us something about that?
Yes, and thank you for that generous overview, Cheryl. Indeed, I arrived in New York after the crisis that I faced in Israel. I accidentally almost killed three people in two different incidents, and I almost died twice. It came very, very close, and I really felt that God, my Creator, showed me the option of the darkness. So I saw the darkness. I saw the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice said, "Is that what you want, my son?" And I just realized, you know, it was a very, very long process, so I realized that I could do a lot better. I could be a force of goodness in this world for myself and for others. And that's where I pulled back and took control of my life.
And, you know, I interviewed Dan Millman, who wrote The Peaceful Warrior. He said something similar to you. He said when he was young, he had many jobs. Whenever someone offered him a job, he took it because he knew there was something to be learned. He said, take every job, do it well, and it will lead you forward in your learning journey. And you feel in a way the same way, because you wrote, I'm going to go out for getting any job, which is to use my intelligence. I am willing to learn. And in general, I go for every job I believe I can master quickly. My motto is I can. And beyond that, let them turn me down because I won't be the one to hold myself back. I just love that you wrote that.
Thank you, Cheryl. And that was very much part of the survival, you see, because that really, I had to do that. I wasn't doing it out of choice. When you live, it was really a very, very strong experience because I lived for, you know, imagine landing in Shanghai in a country that you had never been before. You don't speak the language. You know only one person. You look different. You sound different. and you are not allowed to stay, and you are not allowed to work.
It's an impossible situation.
I did it. I did it, and I lived at a very, very challenging period for almost 7 years. My undocumented period lasted for almost 7 years, but I also realized right away that I had to learn the language, because you can feel as less than human. If you cannot communicate to others, you feel like deaf mute.
Yes.
You know, you feel like an animal that is not able to communicate your needs or your love or your skills, you know. So I mastered English because I love languages. I love English. And that period was, you very astutely pointed out that all that journey has enabled me to be here and understand the things that I have understood, and now we are teaching others about this whole system, this wonderful, enormous resource of our mind, body, and spirit. There is an enormous wealth of strength, intuition, intelligence, and life force inside, and that's really what we teach at Latsukan Seminar.
So, Guy, how can locating ourselves in the perception of our optimal duration help us to continue to explore this amazing mind-body-spirit connection?
Well, it's very simple. What we teach, we help participants in our workshops to realize their optimal duration. What does it mean? Every living organism has an optimal duration of existence. This is the maximum amount of years that they can live under the most favorable conditions. Okay, so we have a finite amount of energy in our body. For example, whales, who live 80 years, and shrews, who live 2 years, they both have approximately 1.5 billion heartbeats in a lifetime. They have the same energy in their body, but one stretches that energy over 80 years. The other uses the same amount of energy in only 2 years. So they operate at different frequencies. So what we do, we help individuals to understand their own internal clock, realize their potential, and then we provide them the skills to enable them to realize that potential through the self-management skills that you mentioned.
Yes, and you go on to mention psychoneuroimmunology. While it's in its early stages now, there are new discoveries in cosmology, neuroplasticity, superstring theory, and epigenetics, which show that the intelligence and energy which permeates the cosmos, the universe, informs every cell in our body. So thought and energy, not solid particles and hard matter, are what our abstract universe and we are made of. I have talked about this on many, many shows, how thoughts create our reality and how illness sometimes is part of a negative or dysfunctional thought process, and not necessarily entirely genetic. So it's something I'm very interested. I'm interested in people having a higher awareness of their intelligence and their intuition and how they can tap into this knowledge so they can begin to really live their lives, not be directed by the outside influences, but be directed by the inside influences. Now, you just gave a definition of optimal duration, which is the amount of years a living organism is expected to live under optimal conditions. You give a good analogy in the book that says it's something like a fuel gauge. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Absolutely, Cheryl. That is indeed the simplest analogy. You know, let's say we're planning a cross-country trip from Los Angeles to New York. In front of us, there are two vehicles, equaling everything, except one has a fuel gauge and the other doesn't. Now, to be clear, we will get to the other coast in the vehicle without a fuel gauge, but which one of these vehicles will give us more control, peace of mind, and mastery? Same exact thing applies to knowing the amount of energy that our body contains. you know, cars did not always have fuel gauges. The early cars did not have a fuel gauge. They had a tank and then a smaller tank, and when the big tank would exhaust, then you knew that you had to go into the gas station. So we are developing constantly. We are evolving. We humans, we contain in us the consciousness of the cosmos, because we are made of the cosmos.
Yes.
Anything that the universe knows, we also know. You know, so by understanding our system, our intelligent instrument of mind, body, and spirit, we can draw inside and sense, locate that optimal duration in ourselves, and that really gives us, so now I and our participants know the potential gas, the potential amount of gas that they contain in their body. But again, that is only a potential. And nobody can give it to you but you. It is your own sense. That is only a potential that you will be able to realize by the choices that we make in everyday life. And those are the self-management skills, such as breathing, good nutrition, sufficient rest, and active lifestyle. We break it down to the four essential components that need to be present for a healthy and long life.
All right. And Guy, you write that you realized at some point that epiphanies or brilliant notions must originate in the infinite mind, lodge themselves somewhere in our psyches at some particular time of evolution. And you go on to say, and I believe this wholeheartedly, we are a link in the chain of evolution of our species, of knowledge, of universal consciousness. Then one day, you say you had an epiphany or a link to this infinite mind. How did it come into you, and how did it give you an idea of your optimal duration?
You know, when I lived in New York City for 15 years, and I would run regularly. I was a jogger, so I would run a couple of times every week. And those jogs for me were the best meditation sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many runners will tell you that, because the body is engaged in a routine activity. So the lungs are pumping, the legs are kicking, so the mind can go into beautiful places. I've always had the most beautiful ideas come to me during these runs. So one day in 1992, a number came. A number appeared. It was 102. And I didn't pay much attention to it. I went about my business. But then the number stayed the next day and the next week and the next month. And that's really when I got worried. I didn't have a clue what to do with it. And I'm going to share with you, I was afraid of it. I did not trust it. I thought that it was some kind of joke, some kind of trap. And this period of struggle lasted a good 5 years, really. I just didn't know what to do with it. But slowly I realized that it wouldn't go away. So I yielded to it, really. I kind of acquiesced in it. I had no other choice. So I started to look at it from the perspective of, if it were to happen, what would I have to do? If I were to live 102 years, what would I have to do? How would I have to live? How would I have to treat my body, my mind? How would I have to treat other people? How would I have to approach life? And so this has been my research since, and we started teaching quite a few years ago.
Well, you know, I'm an intuitive healer or medium. I connect to that higher dimension in meditation. I get a great deal of information, so I find very interesting that it just floated into you when you were running and you were relaxed, because one day I was in the car, it comes in like that, and sometimes we don't pay attention, but after a while when it happens repeatedly, you do start to pay attention. So I was in the car driving, and I was going towards the office, and all of a sudden a thought went in, pick up Caroline's birthday cake. And I realized I had ordered a cake. It was my responsibility. And I had to go in another direction. And if I had gone all the way to the office, I would have been, you know, concerned I wouldn't have it. I would have had to go out again. And so things are coming into all of us, thoughts, revelations, information to guide us, to help us, to make life a little easier if we pay attention, because then we can do the right thing. We can take that knowledge or intuitive thought and we can use it to help ourselves and others. Let's go on for a minute. There are real advantages to having this sense of our optimal duration. For example, I've heard people tell me they don't believe they're going to live too long and they're going to do certain things before they go. Sometimes makes me very sad. So what can we do? What are the advantages that this can help us with if we have a sense of our time in this life?
Well, it gives us a sense of confidence, a sense that we are in control of our own destiny. Shirley, it gives us a sense of balance, a sense of being grounded. And, you know, you mentioned that, and I will actually tell you that when we started giving these workshops, it was eye-opening how many people come to us, you know, privately and then in groups, and they say, you know, Guy or Teresa, our programming director, I have had the sense, so many ladies, you know, 40 and up, come to us just recently and said, I have always had the notion that I would live to be 95 or I would die in my bed, or my mom and I, we always thought that we would live about same age of 72. So it is part of us, this knowledge or this sensation is part of us, but we are conditioned. People are conditioned not to, well, people are afraid to voice it because they think that people will think that they are strange or weird or what that, well, you know. But it is a very, very strong sense. So it has been an eye-opening thing to me.
Well, that's good. Actually, it's a great thing. And I think it also helps us to overcome the fear of death because you can see that you can have a full life no matter how long it is if you gauge yourself and plan for what is important for you and for others that you love. Actually, I believe that consciousness survives physical death as a medium getting information from this higher consciousness that's accurate for my clients. I believe something does survive our memories, our energy, our soul. I think this is part of a continuing search for our true nature as human and spiritual beings. And I think your search is also along those lines. So let's go on to cosmology, which is an understanding of the universe and how it explains our human condition. Now, we can go back as far as 13.8 billion years ago when the Big Bang occurred. Now, this is a more scientific explanation for how life evolved, apart from religious belief systems. But I think actually you can take both, merge them, and you'll have a lot of truth. You can't really use one or the other. So what do you want to tell us about cosmology and how it helps us understand the universe and ourselves?
Yeah, very, very good point, Cheryl. We use cosmology really to show what we are, you know. So in order for us to really locate our optimal duration in ourselves, we first go out into the universe at large, and then we bring that large universe back into our own body.
Yeah.
So now, why do we do that? Because we want to understand what it is that we are. So, as of today, February 17th, 2014, our latest science tells us, you know, because we want to know where we come from, what is life, what is existence.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the latest science tells us, we are made of the same energy and matter as everything else in the cosmos. Every atom in our body comes from planet Earth, which in turn is made of the same energy and matter as everything else in the cosmos. So we go back, we go back to our ancestors, you know, cavemen and women, and earlier to mammals, and earlier to a single cell amoeba, and earlier when planet Earth formed, and earlier all the way back, as you said, as far as new cosmology knows right now, the Big Bang occurred 13.8 billion years ago. What happened before the Big Bang, we don't currently know for certain. There are certain assumptions. So we go back to the Big Bang, and then we retrace our steps back to the present moment. And this is how we use cosmology to understand what we are made of. Now, this is this is not a philosophical thing. This is a very, very practical issue.
Mm-hmm.
Every every carbon, the carbon in our body could not be created in the universe by any other means than through the collapse and explosion of a star. So we are a further evolution of a star. It's as simple as that. We are made of stardust. Stars explode, and then they congeal into human forms, trees, animals, etc. So we, in that sense, we humankind, we are currently the most advanced intelligence existing in the world, until we find otherwise. In this sense, we serve as the eyes and the ears and mind of the cosmos. So as we understand more about us, and as we discover more latent capacities in us, like sensing how long we can live, we enable the universe to evolve into a higher consciousness.
Absolutely. And you talk about the fundamental laws of nature and how to create a graceful journey through the matrix of life. And you go on to say, align the energies inside you with those outside so you can pass through the world with the least amount of friction. And every spiritual pursuit, religious pursuit, scientific pursuit asks us to remember that, to use the energy from within us, to align with the outside, not to allow the outside to rule us or make us make decisions, but to work it from the other way around. And you also talk about the body conscious techniques, self-management techniques, mental imagery tools. Tell us what is in each of these briefly and how they can help us master our bodies.
Mm-hmm. So in order to help our participants and through the book, the readers of the book, to sense their optimal duration in themselves, we use body consciousness techniques such as meditation, pressure points, touch triggers, and ring muscles. Each one of these is a distinct discipline that enables us to enter our inner framework of mind, body, energy, mind, body, spirit, flesh, blood, and bones. Understand this entire instrument, this entire system, which is our mind and body. Mind and body are very, very much connected. One influences the other. We cannot separate mind from the body because, that's where epigenetics comes in, that shows that, you see, very quickly, Cheryl, we are born with a certain DNA, we inherit from our parents and from our family a certain DNA, which is a blueprint. So the latest science shows that the relationship between our makeup, our genetic makeup, and our behavior in order to determine our lifespan is one-third to two-thirds in favor of lifestyle choices. We are not victims of our genes. We are the masters of our mind, body, spirit by the choices that we make in everyday life.
I agree. And I want to thank you, Guy Joseph Ale, for sharing your courageous and eventful life story and the attitudes and compassionate ways you faced your own challenges as a hero in search of self-actualization, self-mastery of the human condition, and a growing appreciation for life and its many possibilities. For more information and to purchase this informative and enjoyable story loaded with insightful suggestions for living your best and healthiest life, go to lifespanseminar.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored the journey of our developing scientific and spiritual foundations necessary for understanding ourselves, our world, and universe, and offering us the knowledge needed to create the most healthy version of ourselves at every age and in all life-challenging circumstances. Guy wrote, as part of his discovery of the elements of true success, what inevitably gives one the confidence and power to persist and be happy in life? It is faith. The building blocks consist of a disciplined way with yourself, listening to your needs, taking care of business, and staying the course. while remembering doubts are not the opposite of faith, they are part of faith. Here is a poem by Guy that illustrates the miracle of each of us and our relevance to the human family. You have a heart as big as the world, but is this childish faith? This question implies that would be juvenile, immature. But if not this childish faith, then what? No one just like you has ever walked the earth, felt what you feel, looked as you do. You are, by simple fact, a unique specimen. Goes without saying, you and everyone else. When you are on your deathbed, ready to cross over, will you look back on your entire journey and think, I was not brave enough to trust in my Creator? Will you not travel the entire distance God assigned you? If God says you can, are you going to convince yourself you can't? What else will you regret not having done when you are ready to depart? Guy and I would hope that you will begin to see yourself as the divine, miraculous, physical and spiritual beings supported by the universe within you, which offers you the wisdom of the ages and the means to have a truly healthy life, creating and manifesting your own miracles. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I hope you join me and my wonderful guests who share their views and visions in the fields of science, spirituality, holistic healing, the energy matrix of life, and the arts, so we may all continue to evolve, learn, and enjoy this beautiful world. Go to CherylGlick.com, WebTalkRadio.net, and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.